Number to Luke 15. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. I'm like, Miss Willa, y'all are done. I was just getting amen. Appreciate y'all being here and singing for us today. It's always good to hear the girls sing. They always a blessing to us. And Brother Rogers always is as well. He's my hero. He's the only man I know that lives with that many teenagers and is still sober. And he has got his hair. But I was taught by a great man, Brother Cross, that there are a few heads that God loves, and the rest of you he covered with hair. Amen, brother. Amen. Luke chapter 15, in this chapter, it starts off in verse 1, says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And it says, And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having an 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying of them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." It said, one sinner that repenteth. No joy over professions of faith, it's joy over conversions. Amen. And he says in verse 8, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Verse 11, he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Verse 17 says, "And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." I want to preach to you this morning something about this fella here in this hog pen. As you notice that 5 times in this chapter the word lost is used. 5 in the Bible is the number for death. Genesis chapter 5 over and over, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. Man's born a sinner, he's going to die. On everything comes out of man, there's 5 things to it. 5 fingers, 5 toes, 5 openings in your head unless you have an extra one. But listen to me. Everything in this chapter is lost, including this boy right here. I know that when I look at that thing, I want to preach to you today on what keeps you in the hog pen. What keeps you in the hog pen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you today. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. And Father, as we look at this chapter, as we read about these lost things, Lord, now we find a lost son over here. And I pray, God, that you'll stir hearts today, Lord God. You've drawn people to Christ today that need to be saved. And I pray, God, that you'll help them get out of the hog pen today. Lord, I pray, God, for the preaching today, God, that you'd anoint me to preach with your power and your anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, that I'd preach without fear, favor, or compromise. I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice today, God, that you'll touch each and every one. Help them, God, to come to Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord God, for the saints of God here as they pray with me, that, Lord, you'll do a great work before we leave this building for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. As I look through this chapter again, I see the word lost occur five times. I see that sinners need repentance. I see also that as we look down through here, as we get to this boy right here, I see that a lot of people preach him as being a backslid person that gets, you know, right with the Lord and all that. But I still can't get past that everything in this chapter keeps saying lost, 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 and lost.
Amen.
I know that he's got a brother, and his brother's like these Pharisees at the beginning of the chapter. So it starts with the Pharisees and ends with a Pharisee. He can't stand to see his brother come back home. I mean, after all, he's like the guy over in Luke 18. I pray, I fast, I give all that I have. But he's in the hog pen as well, looks like the way he acts. But as I look at a hog pen, I've not been a diligent student on the hog pen. I try to stay away from said creatures. And you can understand why. They're hogs.
Amen.
Now, I do like to partake of the swine.
Right.
I'm not a, what do you call him, anti-pork? I'm not a Jew. I love bacon. I had sausage yesterday.
Amen.
And would have it right now if you handed it to me and it was cooked right.
Amen.
Amen. But as I look at this boy in this hog pen, and I wonder to myself, after I've been around a few hog pens, what kept him there? And as we look at that to find out what keeps you from the Lord, you can answer these three questions based on this man sitting in this hog pen. Number one is this. Is it the fellowship in that hog pen that keeps you from the Lord? Can you imagine what fellowship you could have in a hog pen? As I was thinking about this and look at this thing, I got to thinking about the smell that would be in around that fellowship. Have you ever been where there's about a 400-pound hog and she's about half grown? And after she's been there for the time that she's just a little piglet, she's up to a big old hog, she's almost ready to be harvested. Have you ever been there and got the privilege of smelling that smell that goes to that hog pen? I pulled up on a house up number 11. I was hunting a fellow that visited this church, and I took the wrong turn. And as I turned down that road, I had my window down, and I thought, Lord, they've killed somebody out here. It smells so bad. But it wasn't a dead body I was smelling. It was a live one. And when I pulled up there, that old sow was sitting out there. She is bigger than your mother-in-law. I got out of that thing, and I went over and looked at her, and she snarled at me. And I thought, you take one more step, Piggy, and you'll be on the plate this afternoon. I got that self-defense mind, especially something like that. I got to eat, and I don't want it to kill me. Take care of two things at one time. But my grandpa taught me as a kid, never, ever get the hog pen contents on your good clothes. He said, if you get them on there, you might as well then be your slopping clothes next time. Because you got to slop that hog, you'll have that, you better wear the same clothes every time to do it. I said, why is that? He said, because that don't wash out. And just like the fellowship you can have there in the hog pen, there's a smell that goes along with it, but there's also a spirit that goes along with that hog pen. It's a spirit of selfishness. You know why? That hog wants it all for herself or himself. That's what they do. You pour that stuff in that trough there, they don't go, well, you go first and then I'll get me some. No, they'll go at that thing, knocking each other out of the way and everything else. And if you want to stay in a hog pen and eat with the hogs, you got to let her go first. And you got to let that big old hog eat what it wants. When it gets tired, wants to burp and lay down, then you can approach the trough. See, there's a spirit that goes in that hog pen. It's a spirit of selfishness. It's a spirit of self-centeredness. And it's just like this kid's attitude up here. I want what's mine. I want you to give it to me. I want it. Every once in a while, I'll get a friend request from somebody I'm already friends with, and I know what's coming next. There'll be a message on that thing following that. How are you doing? Fine. How are you? Well, what have you been up to lately? By the way, I was writing to tell you you won the lottery. I did? Where's my money? And that same spirit that's in that hog pen will get inside you, because for one brief moment you'll think, maybe they're telling the truth. Maybe they're right. Maybe I did win it. Maybe Ed McMahon's showing up at my door. And for that one brief second, that spirit that's in that hog pen gets in you. You're born with it. This boy, only thing he did that you haven't done is he already got his and went and spent it. I've seen the most gruesome things in my life. Some of them are called weddings. People get in a wedding, they lose their mind. The bride has to be on 5 different medications just to walk down the aisle. They got to take the groom and make him come. I mean, it's just in the both mother-in-laws arguing where the flowers go. But in the end, there's a wedding, there's food, and everybody gets happy. At a funeral, it works just the opposite. They start off happy because all they can think about is now that daddy or mama's gone, I'll get the inheritance. And they'll take that inheritance and they'll have it planned out. And as soon as they go through the funeral home and sign off everything and sign off for the checks and everything just paid and they go to the probate judge and they get that thing, the only thing about it that's worse to them than their parents being dead is the fact they don't get the whole shooting match. That spirit of that hog pen. Is it the fellowship of that hog pen, that smell, or that spirit? Which one gets you? Because I know this. You may try to deny this, but there's a smell that goes with that hog pen. And when you're staying away from the Lord, there's a smell that's about you and a spirit that's about you, and everybody can identify it. And I ain't talking about you not taking a bath. But look at this. I see this boy over here. He got his inheritance early. Could you imagine if your rich daddy were to say, you know what? I want to see you enjoy yourself with my money. Here it is. Here's half of it. If you want it, you take it. And what if your daddy give you about $200,000 or $300,000? Oh, my goodness. I would do this. I'd do that. Let me ask you this question. How are you handling the money God's allowed you to have right now? That's how you would handle that. I've seen more than one guy, and I think of Leon Spinks. Y'all remember Leon Spinks, Michael Spinks? One of them beat Ali. He was the world heavyweight champion. Well, he is on top of the world. They had a limo coming to pick him up, a limo coming to drop him off. And he had a butler, a maid, a big old house, and all kind of other stuff. Last I heard of him, 2004, 2005, Mr. Spinks was a janitor at the YMCA, working for minimum wage, barely had 2 pennies rubbed together, living paycheck to paycheck. Why? I would say it was because when he had nothing, he didn't manage it right. Then when he got everything, he didn't manage it right. There's a smell and a spirit that goes with that hog pen. That fellowship of the hog pen's unlike anything I've ever seen. But I notice this, it'll keep you from the Lord. As strange as it sounds, a lot of people have got a line drawn in the sand that they tell God that he better not step over, but the line they're in that they think God won't come over, on the other side of that line's them, but they're in the hog pen. Now notice this, there's something else to keep you from the Lord. Is it the food in that hog pen that keeps you from the Lord? Have you ever been to a hog pen and noticed what they eat? I've seen Brother Billy, he's a hog farmer now. And every time we'd go to the restaurants, he'd say, are you going to eat that? And usually when a preacher says, you're going to eat that, they're going to eat it if you ain't. There was a missionary. He went out to eat with some people, and the pastor's mother-in-law got half her plate ate, and he said, ma'am, are you going to eat that? She said, no. He said, can I have it? And he ate the rest of it. I thought, man, he ate one whole plate, then half of hers. But when he got those pigs over and started fooling with him, he'd come up and he'd say, you going to eat that? And I was like, are you going to eat it? You know, if I give it to you, will you eat it right now while I watch? But he's getting up a thing to take to his hog. And I noticed that in the hog pen, the food that's there that keeps you from the Lord is always leftovers. 90% of every movie you have ever watched, the plot came right out of this book. Every one of them. And if you do that to them, they'll sue you and call it plagiarism, but we don't copyright our Bible. So I don't believe that. You ever watch Star Wars? How the little guy beats the big guy? I wonder where they got that from. The little nobody out there nowhere that was a farmer. He tended to things. And he went out and won the big war. Sound like somebody you know? How about this one? You got a guy, and he falls in love with a woman, but it's not his wife. And it ends up causing problems for everybody. You ever heard that one before? You watched that movie? All of it's here. Yeah, have you ever seen a guy that was on top of the world one day, he hit rock bottom, and the next thing you know he's rich again, from rags to riches to rags? It's in this Bible. And sometimes it's the food that keeps you from the Lord. Leftovers are 90% of what you take in when you're in the hog pen. And also, what else is bad about that food is the majority of it can be spoiled, but the hog will still eat it. I know that I have to fuss at my wife all the time about keeping them leftover plates from restaurants, because they wind up being in my car. Then they don't get to the house. And then my car smells like wherever we were at last. Now, when I was hungry for that thing, it smelled like the best thing in the world. But a day later, I don't want to go back and revisit yesterday's dinner. Especially in the summertime, when my car becomes a unique microwave type device. And somehow the food gets cooked a second time. If you ever wondered why I put leather seats in the car, that's why. They don't hold that smell quite as bad. Amen, friend. I know your wife would never do this to you. But I know that after a while, when you take those things like that, you know, in the wintertime, I've almost been tempted when it's real cold, like 20 or 30 degrees or 10 degrees even, and something's been left out there all night, to slip it into the house. Just to see if anybody will notice. But since I got saved, I just ain't got the heart to do that to somebody. If you'd have caught me about 22 years ago, I'd have got you on that one. You would have went to the hospital thinking you was dying. I'd have been sitting there laughing at you and everything, knowing that this too shall pass. But it may be the food that's keeping you from the Lord, that spoiled things you keep getting out there like that. See, a lot of people hadn't realized that the devil, he starts off giving you all kind of great things. And it's cool and it's fun and sin's great. And it's not mean, black, ugly, and nasty like the preacher preaches. It's a lot of fun. And the thrill that you can get from sin. But keep this in mind. The devil serves first the good stuff, and then he'll slip you the spoiled things later on. That meth addict you see the picture of, where she started out over here in this picture, and she got arrested for shoplifting, and then over here she looks a little bit worn, and then on down here, and finally after 8 mug shots on that last one, she looks like that she's almost a corpse. She scratched her face completely up trying to get bugs out from under her skin that are not there. She hasn't bathed in weeks. The difference between that first picture and that last picture is this. The devil served up fun over here, but he spoiled over here. And just like that plate, when you come out there, listen, hey, in the hog pen, hey, when they first cooked that food, it was fine. When they first got it together and brought it out on a plate, it's fine. But don't you ever forget the devil's fixing to serve you spoiled leftovers. And it might be that food that keeps you in the hog pen. I couldn't imagine sitting out there like this kid did right here, and he just wondered what the hog had to eat. Can you imagine living a life like that? Where all that you had got to the point that you were so sorry and so rotten and spent everything you had, and you looked down and said, you know what? I'll take that. I went out and looked at the hog pen and looked at what they ate and thought, I think I ate that a week ago. And it looks like the exact stuff I had and put back in the plate. And you know what? It may have been. But I know this, when you look at that stuff, there's a price that goes with that. Because only a hog could eat like that. If you were to take a sheep and put that sheep in that hog pen, it would be so out of sorts from the fellowship and the food that it would die within months. It may try to eat, it may try to fellowship with that hog, but it'd spend most of its time staying away from it. But see, there's a lot of folks that's saying, I'm a sheep, I'm God's child, but you're in the hog pen. You're not trying to get away from it. The door's open, you can leave any time. Christ Himself said, I am the door. But yet you choose the hog pen. Is it the food? Is it the fellowship? Or let's just be honest. Maybe it's the filth in that hog pen that keeps you around. I noticed that in a hog pen, there's always a place to lay down and relax. I watched a hog one time. It walked over here to go to the bathroom. It walked over here to lay down. It come over to the trough and ate. It walked over here to go to the bathroom and walked back over here and lay down. I thought, it don't care. It really don't care. It just lays around its own field. They brought another hog in there with that hog. He laid down in the same places and ate out of the same bowl or the trough or whatever there they had, that bucket. I got to looking at that. You know what I figured out? Nobody judges anybody in the hog pen. It's a judge not area. You can get in all the filth you want to and the other hogs won't judge you for it. But let's put a sheep in there, them two hogs, he ain't going to want to lay down. He's not going to want to fellowship with the hogs. He's not going to eat what they got. He's not even going to go to the bathroom where they went to because he's not the same nature they have. Right. That sheep's looking for water. He's looking for grass. He's looking for a shepherd. Them two over there, they got a different spirit about them. But that sheep can't stay there. Right. He'll start hunting a way out.
Right.
But them hogs, they love the field. There used to be a guy that when my pastor went to Tennessee Temple up there back in the early 70s, he would bring, and he'd preach out of Luke 15, he'd bring a piglet in there, and he'd get that thing so scrubbed up, he'd have him just shining pink. He'd put a cute little bow in its hair, or not his hair, around its neck, and he'd tie that thing off, it's just the cutest little thing, paint its little hooves and everything, and I mean, it was a sight. And he'd keep them in a glass container over here with the top off of it, and then right down below the platform, they had one of the little pools in there. They'd put mud, and while he's preaching, he'd tell what all the sin was. He was dumping all kind of dirt and trash and everything in there. And that pig up there, he's just sitting there just as pretty as he could be. And then towards the end of the message, he'd tell him, you're this pig. He'd open that sliding door on that thing, boy, that clean pig with them painted hooves and that little thing around his neck. He'd hit that dirt just as fast as he could get to it. He couldn't wait to get in the field. And you know something? Let me tell you where you're at. Right now, you're sitting around some sheep. You can't wait for that door to get open so you can get out there in that field. I know that when they don't judge others in the hog pen, it's because they're all the same there. We don't judge people here. But you know what? Sheep don't judge people either. But it's in their nature not to get in that dirt and that field. There's something about that sheep. He don't want to be dirty. He don't even understand why he don't want to be like that. That hog, you go on goody two shoes. I'll lay down over here in the field. And there's folks today. They got lips that say, I love the Lord, but they got a life that says, I love the field. They'll waller in it. Sometimes you'll catch that old hog out there, he'll just be turning over in that muck and mire. Just rolling over in it. Why is that? He's a hog. He can't help it. That's all he wants to do. Listen, when that hog was born, it come out looking for the mud hole. It's in their nature. They can't help it. They love filth. Can I tell you something about you today? When you're born in this world, you're born a sinner and you come out looking for filth. You say, I don't do nothing that bad. You've got that spirit all over you right now, that spirit of selfishness. You've already got the fellowship of the hog pen now packed before you ever say your first word. So I don't believe that. Tell you what, you go find a small baby, let it get dirty and see if it says anything about it. See if it says, I need a bath. And I know all you little girls, now you grown women, when y'all grew up, y'all were just the prettiest little thing. But you know deep down inside you, you know what you want to do? You want to get out and water in it. I'm talking about sin. You men, you say, well, we played in the dirt. We fought we beat each other with wrenches and sticks and everything. You know why? You love filth. Never beat them with a clean stick, did you? You ever see these kids that come, that you let them out of the house, and they walk out of the house looking like little Lord Fauntleroy, and they come back looking like the little rascals? You know why that is? They love filth. It's in your nature. That's why they dress up when they go out to the beer joint and they come back and rattled clothing and whatnot. They love filth. They love wallowing in it. And if you say anything about it, don't you judge me. Don't you judge me. You got the spirit of a hog. And it's filth that's keeping you from the Lord. What'll it take to get you back in the where you need to be at? First of all, you got to admit you've never been there. See, the Bible tells us beyond a shadow of a doubt, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. We were all born wanting the food and the fellowship and the filth of the hog pen. And done everything in our power to get the exact filth that we wanted to get a hold of. But let me point this out to you. While you were wallowing in the mire, the Bible said God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ saw you in the hog pen and laid down His life, died an atoning death, shed His precious blood so that you might be saved. What's a hog got to do to be saved? That hog's got to be converted. He's got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And His payment for him being in the hog pen. And when he accepts Christ, when he turns from that filth and he accepts Christ, I notice when we come back over here in our text, I see over here in verse 18, he says, I will arise and go to my Father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I see him coming in repentance. I see him coming in humility. But notice this. A fellow said one time, now he called him Father before he left, and he called him Father when he come back. Can I tell you something? People are religious to the gills. There's a sinner dying, and he went to hell. He's called the rich man, and he called Abraham Father because he is religious. Religious people go to hell every day. Only saved people go to heaven. So how does a person get saved? Well, that's a good question. The guy in Acts chapter 16, he is about to take his own life. And before he could, the Apostle Paul spoke up and said, sirs, we're all here. The only question that man had was, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And listen to this, thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, thou shalt be saved. If we do what? If we confess Him as our Lord and Savior, if we accept Him and His payment for our sins, we've turned from what we know as sin in that hog pen. Hey, listen, you may not know all the filth that goes in the hog pen. You may not know every microbe of bacteria that's in there, but you're willing to walk away from it and turn to Him. That's the kind of sinner He takes in. He don't want to educate you in all the fine points of sin. He wants you to turn from sin right now. I noticed that when when he come back to his Father's house, it's like when a sinner comes back, when a sinner comes to the Lord, they come in not in pride, but in humility, knowing they deserve nothing there, and they don't even deserve to be there. But I see this. I see God with open arms welcoming that sinner back home. Joy over one sinner that repenteth. Joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. God broke my heart on verse 10 one time. Let me know something. Do you know there are people in heaven right now that have prayed for you while they're on this side of the grave? Dear God, please save that person. It might have been your grandma, your daddy, your uncle, your cousins. Somebody took the time to bow down on their knees and thought of you and said, Lord, please save them. They died. You sat at their funeral. A preacher preached and said, you must be born again. And you sat there like a knot on a log and said, I ain't going to do it. This is just religion. Look at these fake Christians. I can't wait to get out of here, get back to my field. But one day, the good God of heaven, who come to seek and save that which is lost, came by your way, saw you in the hog pen, said, I'm the door. And all of a sudden, like other times before, except this time, he said, you know what? I'm coming, Jesus. I'm coming right now. And you got saved. And somewhere in that brain of yours, you said to yourself, knowing that that person had passed on, prayed for you, you said, you know, I wish Grandpa could know that I got saved. And let me tell you something. When Grandpa got to heaven, he was glad to be there. When Grandma got there, she is glad Grandpa was there because she wasn't sure he was going to get there. But when they walked in and they spent their time with Jesus to start with, I can hear almost Grandma, Grandpa, cousin, uncles, brothers, and aunts, whatever, saying this. Can I see that book? And they got that book and looked at it and said, you know what? This book reads just like my King James Bible. Because it's settled forever there and it's preserved here, we got the Bible. I can see somebody tapping that person on the shoulders, a relative that died maybe before then that prayed for them. I want to show you another book up here. We got two of them. We got that one with 66 books. But then there's this other book over here, strange book. It's got places missing in it and it's got names all in it. And they went to that book and looked in that thing. And about the time they read your name in it, you was getting saved down here on planet Earth and they was shouting in heaven about the thing. They know. I don't know how many people prayed for me that died before I got saved. But I know this, whoever they are, wherever they may have prayed out on this earth, I know where they're at right now, shouting in heaven about it. And I'm going to tell you something. In heaven, they're waiting to shout over sinners that repent. You got somebody there been praying for you? What's keeping you from making shout and going to heaven day? Food? Fellowship? Or filth in the hog pen? Which one is it? What's keeping you out? See, listen. This guy right here, he came back. He came back in humility. He said, I'm not even worthy to be as one of your hired servants. I'll do the dirty work for free. But listen, dear Christian. Like the folks here that need to get out of the hog pen, you tell everybody you say, why do you want that hog pen so much? What about that hog pen attracts you so much? Listen. He said, there's joy in the presence of angels. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I mentioned Brother Cross at the beginning of the message. I remember a time back in about 10 years ago, every time somebody got saved, Brother Cross would be one of the ones that run a lap around here for everyone who got saved. I remember hearing everybody, you know, thank God and praise God over people getting saved. Now you tell them they got saved, it's, they won't make it. They won't make it. They ain't going to make it. They probably won't last a week. They probably won't last a month. I think we need to get back to heaven side of it and shout. Listen, what's keeping you in the hog pen? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Father, we love you.